I'm Mike and Scott, and this piece is part of the Pulse's special episode, Science and the 4th of July. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. A lot of people are going to spend at least part of the sweltering hot 4th of July in a dark and air-conditioned movie theater, and one of them will be Alan Yu. Hey, Alan.
Hi, Maiken.
I know you're a big movie fan. What are you going to see on the holiday?
So I'm going to go watch Baby Driver. It's an action comedy about a getaway driver called Baby, but I'm also really looking forward to Spider-Man Homecoming, which is the newest Spider-Man movie.
And you're also a major science geek, which is why it's great that you're working on The Pulse, but do you pay attention to science in movies?
I pay attention to the science when it's done particularly well or when it's distractingly bad.
Like what? Give me an example of really bad science in movies.
The easy example is the cinema classic Armageddon, which, if you recall, the premise is that there's an asteroid the size of Texas heading towards Earth and they send oil drillers up to blow it up.
And what's so bad about that?
Let's start with the premise. The whole movie revolves around the idea that it's easier to train oil drillers to become astronauts rather than teaching astronauts how to use a drill.
And I guess there are lots of other mistakes in that movie. But we're also hearing a lot more about Hollywood working with scientists to get things right. I'm thinking about The Martian, for example.
So The Martian is special because the film crew got to tour some NASA sites. NASA gave them a lot of pictures of Mars, you know, advised them on what storms on Mars would look like. So they put in a lot of work to make sure that it looked accurate. But let's say you're a film director, you just want to make sure your movie doesn't break every single law of physics. So there's a number you can call, 844-NEED-SCI, and yes, that's an actual number. And that number goes to the Science and Entertainment Exchange, and that's a program from the National Academy of Sciences. And one person that you might get on the line is Clifford Johnson.
I'm Clifford Johnson. I'm a professor of physics at the University of Southern California.
The most recent movie he worked on is Thor Ragnarok, the Marvel movie coming out in November. Fans are super excited.
Well, it's a long story.
He can't talk about that movie because he signed a non-disclosure agreement with Marvel. But to use a safe example, he worked with the writers of the Marvel TV show Agent Carter, a spin-off about the popular character in the Captain America movies.
They had an energy source from the Marvel comics that they wanted to use.
It's kind of a magical substance that can absorb all the energy around it.
They said, well, we need it to do this, that, and this other thing. Tell us what it is, please, and how does it work? And so it reminded me of something that people work on called perfect fluids. And so I was sort of explaining the kinds of perfect fluids with various sort of quantum properties that this might be.
Which the writers used.
So, what is it?
I have a hypothesis. Do you know what a perfect fluid is?
Are you talking about zero matter or your winemaking machine?
And they didn't just take Clifford's advice. Anne Merchant from The Exchange says talking to him affected casting for a major character.
They wanted to speak to a physicist. We introduced them to Clifford. I can't say he's African-American because he's British, but he's black, and sat down with him. Well, the character then was written as a black man. And they said, well, yeah, because how could we? I mean, we had him in our head after that. So, you know, we know that by making these introductions that they impact story and they impact character.
Her colleague Rick Lover, the director of The Exchange, agrees. And he says these introductions change the way people see scientists.
I constantly am getting this sort of note back from Hollywood like, wow, I was really surprised how hip that scientist was. And, you know, scientists and engineers, they are hip.
Rick says part of the point of The Exchange is to make sure writers and directors get to know actual scientists. That's why they organize retreats and science speed dating events where scientists get to talk about their work. Rick says that if you think about it, scientists and filmmakers have quite a bit in common. They have to have creative ideas, explain the idea to people to get funding, then look at numbers to see if their big project succeeded or failed. Clifford says it's more than that. He says scientists, like filmmakers, are storytellers.
When we're trying to discover how something works, we're also looking for mechanism. which translates into story writing, things like motivation. How does that character get past all those obstacles? Why are they trying to do it? What's the motivating reason? All those things that get you watching a drama, that happens in a scientific story as well.
Now, we should say not all his colleagues feel this way.
There's perhaps a perception that I'm sort of goofing off with my Hollywood buddies when it comes to things like movies.
He says some scientists are afraid that Hollywood writers might go with a creative interpretation of science even after talking to them. There's one recent movie in particular that worried mental health specialists. Clinical psychologist Bethany Brand explains that the movie Split features a character with dissociative identity disorder. It used to be called multiple personality disorder. We should say the exchange was not involved.
I've never seen a case like this before. 23 identities live in Kevin's body.
The main character is portrayed as a man who's extraordinarily violent and preys upon other people.
There's a man here. He abducted us and he's going to kill me.
And that's just not the reality of what the disorder is like in almost all cases.
She says the movie could make people who have this disorder feel ashamed.
And I've absolutely heard that from my patients and from other patients. They feel much more like they have to hide their disorder. And that may deter some people from going in and getting treatment. When Hollywood's doing that with films, they're doing all of us a disservice.
Bethany says people with the disorder don't harm other people, but they are at higher risk of harming themselves.
I've heard about a number of patients around the world who've heard from their friends, you know, when are you going to switch? When is your murderer part going to come out and get me? And their friends and loved ones aren't always joking.
I contacted director M. Night Shyamalan for an interview and did not hear back. Bethany says obviously this movie isn't a documentary, but she also says there's also no reason why the director and stars can't talk about the real disorder when they promote the movie. There's going to be a sequel to Split, and she says she would be happy to help out with the science. By and large, Rick Lover, the director of The Exchange, says Hollywood writers do care about getting things right. He told me about a conversation he had with writer John Spaeths. His movie, The Mummy, came out earlier this summer.
What he loves about exchange consults and about talking to scientists is to get to the point in his research where he either gets kind of a shrug or a we're not sure, or maybe even an argument between two field experts.
Because once we reach the limits of real science, that's where science fiction begins. For The Pulse, I'm Alan Yu.